Ooh, don't get it confused. Da-da-da-da-da. Ain't nobody to Welcome, 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 welcome back. It is another exciting episode of the People's Favorite Podcast. Of course. Yes, indeedy. It's Sincerely Your Cry, guys. Yes, come on in the room. Take your seats. Grab a snack, a water. Put a pillow behind you because it's going to be a long time, but it's going to be a fun time. You know what I mean? Welcome to another exciting episode of the People's Favorite Podcast, Sincerely Your Cry. My name is Joseph Inti, and I am going to be the host of this podcast, as I have always done. If you're new here, listen, you're going to stick around to the very end and rate us on the DSP you're listening to us on, whether it's Apple Podcasts or Spotify. You can give us a rating. You can leave a comment. Okay, contribute to people finding us because you had a good time. It's bound to be a good time. No playing about that. Okay, I want to give a quick shout out to the GCR Network. That's the Gold Coast Report, the number one podcast hosting network in Idaho, Ghana. Yes, and I want to give a quick shout out to my co-creator and producer, Mr. Kwame Asantiofori, who's not on this episode, people, but you're going to hear him on the next one, I promise you. I think after a while, you guys will get the hang of things, okay? Because I've seen a couple of tweets where people are like, oh, I missed Mr. Asante on this episode. Why was he not on this episode, guys? You will get it. You will get it, don't worry. But yeah, welcome to this episode. This is one of those episodes where I am going to be doing my very best to limit the amount of times I say like. I recently noticed that I also use it in texting. And so I've started there. Whenever I go over my text and I see it, I take it out and I think to myself, how can I say this without using like? And now I'm bringing it into speech. And so I need you to help me, okay? Walk me through this episode. As soon as you hear it, snap your finger and say, hey, you know that Spider-Man meme? Yes. But anyway, it's time for us to get into what's been trending. And I tell you, the Ghanaian entertainment scene, the pop scene, it is just giving, giving, and giving. I love what is going on. It's very golden age, you know, back when Beyoncé, the president's daughter, was still very... was an it movie. I feel we're back there with entertainment space. So let's get into it. Spunky beat them. That's me la international fishama. Eta boyenge, benimbeko watange, otungwa jo ampe, taushia yu papa tande, afangwa choko tu wagege, we keep pushing salaga troke, run up a plus on my baby, mene ina shikange bubaye, afira wakan somoshin, bakwe, somoshin, bakwe, somoshin, bakwe, idele wakan somoshin, bakwe, somoshin, bakwe, somoshin, bakwe, afira wakan somoshin, bakwe, somoshin, bakwe, somoshin, bakwe, idele wakan somoshin, bakwe, somoshin, bakwe, somoshin, bakwe, beat that bag where rope coco. I can stick in foot to a wusa coco. Go down low, mommy tabolobo. Went to jamba, masumbo, my grave pleco, oh so cool. Congratulations are in order to Kalsum Sinar. You know, I've never really figured out how to say this woman's name. Kalsum Sinari. Let's just say that's what it is, okay? Apologies if I'm butchering it. But Kalsum Sinari has been named Ghana's ambassador to Spain, okay? You know what? There's just this genre of celebrity. You know, and I would say Jackie Apia is in this WhatsApp group. Another Mama Brown is in this WhatsApp group. There's just this category of celebrities who, you know, they go about, they do their thing, and it all culminates into government position that is also far away from harsh politics. I feel like, does that constitute as a like? Because I said it as a phrase. But I do feel like in the political sphere, being an ambassador is one of those, it's a very far removed position in the sense that you go live over there. You rarely ever see ambassadors get dragged into dirty politics. It's always the people who have sent other people to come into the country, John Benjamin and all these people, they're always fighting with somebody on Twitter. Okay. That's a different thing. But yeah, this is one of those things. And you know what? It suits her. I don't know. I personally don't know,
what it takes to be an ambassador. I don't know the skills that you need to have. But, you know, she's an actress, well accomplished. Worst case scenario, she will act the part. Because she did look good. She looked really, really good. You know, Kalsum used to be a model, guys. I remember when I was very, very young back then. You know, guys, PMP, People and Places. Everybody knows PMP because they had all those very crazy things on the cover. And I remember reading her marriage to Tony Baffo in the newspaper. Yeah, she was married to, I don't know if she's still married to or was married to, correct me if I'm wrong, but Tony Baffo was part of the Ghana Black Stars, okay? One of the very prominent players. And when I tell you, she had a sickening sweat cut perm with this very interesting headpiece. Oh my goodness. Her wedding photos were, that was actual royalty back then. Okay. It was rich, very rich. Oh, sit down, Vicky James. But yeah, no. So shout out to you, Kalsum Sinare. I saw Jackie Appiah was in attendance of the ceremony. So shout out to you. She's now the ambassador to Spain. Listen, a couple of new songs have dropped, and I want to start with Shatawale and John Legend, Ain't Nobody. I'm sorry, I didn't know what to expect when I saw this announcement, okay? First of all, I had mad critique for the artwork. That photo of Shatawale is at least 5 years old. It's an old photo. So in my mind, my mind was already racing, you know, quick to critique. But I honestly didn't know what to make of it because, you know, it's the same thing. When Beyonce, it was announced that Shatawale was a feature on Beyonce, I figured it was going to be something dancey. You know what I mean? But now I hear John Legend and I'm thinking, okay, this is R&B, this is piano. What is he going to do on a track with Shatawale? A lot of people were talking about it on social media, it being so random. And I literally waited for it to be out before I record this. And I just listened to the song and I wasn't expecting to like it this much. This is a, guys, I kid you not, go to Shatawale's page and listen to it. The song was executive produced by Leslie Quaynor. Leslie Quaynor, I'm very sure you've worked on other very major records as well, because the name sounds very familiar. But your work on this is stellar. Listen, this song is 3 minutes, 23 seconds, and they go into so many different flows and pockets. And one thing that I really like when artists collaborate is you don't leave the collaborating artist to a certain portion of the song. You know, some people do that. The main artist is all over the song and then the collaborating artist come and do a verse. No. I mean, John Legend is singing you into the track from the jump. Shatta comes in with one flow. Oh, this is, guys, that was the song I was singing. Ooh, don't get it confused. Da, 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 da. And it's this very reggae, raga vibe, but it's also R&B and it's a great record, guys. Go and listen to Ain't Nobody. Honestly, shut up. This is what you should be. Send this into the Grammys. Street Crowd was great, but it had its shortcomings. Send this into the Grammys next year. And it's also in a very special genre-esque, you know, pocket, reggae, raga, whatever that is. I don't know. It's a great song, guys. Go listen to it. Also, we've got Sina Soul and Ara the J, Tough Times. It's out. And I'm going to be very honest with you. I love what they did with this. So I watched the video as well. I waited. They have this whole, you know, when, what's it called? Drake did God's Plan. Yeah. God's Plan. So basically at the beginning of the video, Sina is talking about how, she has a new song out and she wants to do a video for it. And she talked to her team and said that, you know, instead of spending money on this video, can we make some people, happy? So the whole video is more or less she and Ara and her team and Ara's team. Cause I know some of them, you know, I was watching the video. I was like, oh, that's this from Ara's team. Anyway. So it's just them going around, you know, buying food, giving it to people. There was a scene where Ara the J bought coconut. There was a coconut seller. And he paid for all the coconut. So he was just giving it out to people who were around. He was calling people to come and drink. It was very nice, you know. And the song is Tough Times. And I'm going to be very honest with you. I was very distracted by the storyline because I was watching the video and everything that was going on. And I was actually drawn in. I loved that. So I must be very honest. I think the song went over my head a bit, but I had to record this. Kwame's literally texting me as I'm recording this. And so I only listened to it once just so I can have an opinion. And I must say, the video took my attention more than the song. I'm not saying that the song is not great, but I'm just saying I can't really give feedback on the song because I have to listen to it again. But definitely go check it out. Sina Soul featuring Ira the J, Tough Times. We also have Kojo Black featuring Oxlade, Sailor, which, by the way, this video was directed by Henry Akrong. And Henry, I didn't know you directed videos. I know you do all these really nice illustrate. Honestly, Henry Akrong is one person. He's very multi-talented. I think he's really good with his fingers. I don't even mean that in a sexual way. Somebody's going to be like, oh, that's what she said. No, but he's really great with his fingers. I follow him. I know he recently gave out all these portraits that he's been painting. He's very talented. So I was watching the video and I saw, what is it called? Directed by Henry Akrong. And I said to myself, oh, okay. But I do remember that he posted on his Instagram the behind the scenes of making the pool scene where Oxlade is legit. So in the video, they have this whole pirate theme going on. And Oxlade is floating on water. So I saw that. I watched it on mute. You know, sometimes you're in a place and you're on your phone, but it's on mute. And you don't really care to listen to sound, right? So I watched the whole thing on mute. And I could tell it was the BTS of making a video. And so it's all clicked to me. But that's also a great song, Kojo Black and Oxlade. You know, Kojo Black really makes great music. He's almost, I would say he's like Mr. Drew. He doesn't have a bad song. Doesn't have a bad song. Mr. Drew has a new song out too, by the way. I want to make sure that I shout him out. I really love Mr. Drew's music. It's called Your Way. It came out 6 days ago. Drew, it's always a hit. It's always, you're gonna move. Your body's gonna move. Who else? Okay, I think, no, ooh, guys. Gen Z, I don't know if you know her, but Tiffany is back and she's back in a big way. Y'all know Tiffany, right? Ooh, yeah, why you watching so? Okay, you guys know that song, right? It's Tiffany, fake London boy. I see Free Croyd's in it. Y'all know Tiffany, right? Okay, look, Tiffany's back in a major way. I saw her post a picture. She was sitting all black, veiled up, looking like somebody's she was looking like a widow, okay? All black cars, looking like somebody died. And so she's just sitting there in front of this compound house, and it's Wura. And immediately I think to myself, oh, Joubert has a song called Wura, right? You guys know that. Yeah. So I'm thinking, and she had this whole quote about, you know, the queen being away, coming back. You know how they get into it. The creatives, you know, yeah, you know what it is. So I also watched that and I love the video. It's a very interesting introduction. Of course, she went this whole hip hop route. She's been very braggadocious, talking about she's back. You know, we just can't step to, niggas can't step to her, stuff like that. It's a nice song. When the video ends, it's kind of saying that, are you guys ready? Tiffany, like, she's back. Tiffany music. And I'm actually excited to see that. And I think that if this is a whole project, like an album or whatever, we're going to try and get an interview. Oh my goodness. I would definitely want to talk to Tiffany about the fairy thing that she had in Bejewel last one. She was wearing those wings with that tutu skirt and a wand and breaking it down like, bet, 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 with that pixie cut. I'm sorry. You know, these are our forebears, guys. These are the people that led the charge for the creativity that you're seeing now. These are the people that inspired a lot of these people. Tiffany was back. She was way ahead of the curve. Don't play with Tiffany. And she was in her own lane. She was the kind of music Tiffany made. You know, you couldn't compare to anybody. When do I compare Ms. V to Kaki? And stuff? Who could you compare Tiffany to? Nobody. yeah, well, welcome back, Tiffany. I'm really excited to get into your new era, so I'm going to be following that keenly. And please, if you get a DM from us, I'm saying as if she listens to this podcast. If you get a DM from us, please respond, because we want to talk to you. Okay? Okay, now, guys, why is everybody going to London? Why is everybody going to London? Oh my God, I thought y'all people were saying that Sarkozy needed to do more. I thought you people didn't want to recognize that Sarkozy is a trendsetter. I thought you people wanted to be all up in arms talking about Sarkozy and this, Sarkozy and that. Look at the domino effect. Sarkozy did a show at the Royal Albert Hall, sold it out in 8 days, and now everybody's going to the UK? Oh, okay. 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 And you'll be entering the UK visa. And yet, Obiang in the UK visa. Now, it's about to be the stomping ground. Ghana is about, you know, I see this whole rebirth of Azonto coming in. I like what we're doing with all of this nostalgia, R2B's over coming up and stealing the top streaming record, whatever. You know, I love this resurgence of Ghana stepping forward in a grand way. And it's so beautiful to see. And I think that's what this is. You know, the UK market has always been something that has been easier for us to attain because breaking in America is a big deal. Okay. Go and ask Tyler. It's not a, you, yeah, okay. But the UK has always been, if you look back to when we used to have a lot of Sway collaborations, you remember, Ricky and Say. Hey, like shawty, I leave you alone. Baby girl, I'm sorry, I can't leave you alone. Y'all remember that song, right? Yeah, Sway has been on a lot of records. We had a lot of UK, Ghana influence. If you guys even remember, I got butter bread, sugar bread, da-da-da, all types of bread. And there's also Fuse ODG, so it's been a thing. And now I think it's coming back. What this also looks like to me is a lot of these artists are now realizing that they need to position themselves as global artists. A lot of the local champion thing is only good for the short time. Right now, when you look at your what is going on, your contemporaries are across the country or no, the continent, they're all reaching global status, right? So I think it's only right. We're going to be seeing Kwaku Smoke at Electric Brixton in London. Apparently, it packs 1,500 people. I don't know. A lot of people, look, there was some conversation about the numbers because EL is doing the Camden, and apparently it seats 470 people. And I saw one of these accounts that quoted and said that, oh, EL power shock. You know, and to be fair, people in the comments trying to say, hey, give them some grace. 470 people is also a thing. Because, you know, if they were clowning South Korea for doing 5,000, just as a 6-point, whatever, I see where this conversation is also going, but and it's I don't even want to go down that path, but you know, so EL's in the Camden and Stoneboy's also taking Beamfest to London. In fact, Stoneboy was the first one. I was right after the actually Shatawale is also playing at the Copt Hall playing field. I think Shatawale announced this, and then I saw Beam. Look, okay, let me not get into it. But all of these people are going to the UK, okay? Ranging from now till next year. So this is, if there's any time for you to go and apply for a UK visa, if you can and have the means, this is the time. 6 months, be another 1 year, be another boy who buying, because it seems it's going to get great. Okay. I would say wait and then apply sometime in like July. Cause I think the Shatawale show is in August. Yeah. Maybe you can apply June, July, and then you get it. And then you have the 6 months crossover. August, September, October, November, December, January, February, March. Nah, March will be outside. And then you have to forego Shatawale show. Anyway, let's move on. Okay, by the way, there's a new traffic regulation that I saw on Twitter. And they were saying that now when the police stops you, they ask you for your license, and if you don't have it, they're like, follow me to the police station. Basically, the new regulation is that the police people can actually use your license plate number to look for your driver's license online. So if you don't have your driver's license on you, and you know that you have your driver's license, it is up to date, all the stickers and everything is there. And they're like, no. They have to use your number plate to get it digitally, whatever. Honestly, I saw the tweet and the first thing that came to my mind, which I actually quotes tweeted, was, are the police people aware of this rule? Are they? Because I remember this same conversation. People have actually said, when a policeman asks you for your license, you have 24 hours to produce it. So if you don't have it on the spot, they cannot tell you to come with them to the police station. You have 24 hours to produce it. This is a law. Every lawyer will be telling you, everybody will be telling you this, but the police people are not aware of this. The people that will tell you that ignorance of the law is no, they are not aware of this. So I'm just saying, guys, we always pass a lot of nice things. Recently, I saw the president was talking about rent and whatever, and that we should go and report our landlords who have charged us more than 6 months. Hey, can we be for real? You go and report my landlord, and when I come and sleep here, and I'll be waiting for our court case to be mentioned or what is going on? I beg you. Sometimes it's always so nice and fancy to put these rules, policies, and whatever in place, but where is the enforcement? without the enforcement, nothing matters. And I think we do not put a lot of planning behind enforcing anything. There's almost rules and regulations for everything, but there's nothing around enforcement. So please, me, I don't know. Let us all do the right thing. Because it's not now that I'm going to be bantering with Sergeant Atipo on the road that, hey, they say you can use my, my brother, do you know the law more than me? I don't want to tell me what to do. Please, I'm not up for that. I'm not up for that. Can we fix it? Thank you. Okay, now let's move on to what will probably be the last story in the segment. And it's the 27th TGMAs and all of the issues that have been popping up just because of it. Oh my God. So they did the announcement of the nominations. You know, congratulations to a lot of people. Black Sharif had about 9 nominations. Kojo Black had, I think, 5. You know, really, really great, 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 great. But there were a lot of, you know, issues and things that have gone around it. I don't really want to go too much into the TGMAs because we're going to do another episode where we're going to have a panel discussion and we're going to be talking about every category, the hopefuls, who we think is going to take what. So I don't even want to get into it, but let's just start. So first of all, a lot of people were complaining about the absence of RC's agenda in the best high life category. You guys know the song, Midnight, I'm calling, Edgemon SC, I'm calling, calling, mini me, one or two girls, and you're balling, frammy, oh daddy, but a frammy, daddy, daddy, yeah. And you're busy tonight, now I'm in agenda for my baby. You know that song. So basically, Agenda was not nominated in Best High Life. And so people were talking because last year, Agenda was all over the TL, at least. You know, I didn't really go out enough to know whether it was on the streets. And that's another thing. Sometimes Twitter and social media is not the real world. I'm just saying. But yeah, and you know, deservedly, because this song really did, I would say RC single-handedly, well, let me not say single-handedly because there are other players, but RC put a spotlight on the Boga Highlight sound. And it's a sound that I personally love a lot. Everybody knows on Kitty's Blue EP, my favorite was, you remind me of a girl I used to know. Same pretty face, same pretty body, same pretty everything. Now soon it's on oh, fun quawario. Oh, they, that beat. It's very, I know, boom, dun, dun, very, hello, customer, telephone, you know, that era of condom tops and mom jeans, that acid dye, oh my God. Anyway, so yeah, a lot of people are talking about that. I think his team put out, and honestly, let's get into the PR, okay? The Ghanaian artists are in their PR bags lately. Everybody's well represented. Everybody has a letterhead. Oh my God. It is so beautiful to see. I'm sorry. I mean, nobody's doing notepad notes anymore. It's on a letterhead. There's an underlining. There's a signature. There's a stamp. Oh, come on. Entertainment law is alive, babies. PR is working in the system. Ooh, okay. Look, we know managers, we know stylists. It is high time we know some of the best PR people there are in the entertainment industry. I should probably work in entertainment PR. Oh, we'll fight with the celebrity too much. Let's just move on. Another one was Ara the J. So Ara the J's The Odyssey album was not nominated for album EP of the year. Put Some on God did not get nominated for best rap performance, and Cover Me did not feature in the best male vocal performance. And Ari DJ's team actually put out an open letter asking for clarification for why, you know, these songs that they actually wanted, or the what do you call it? They applied, you know. So The Odyssey didn't make it for the album and EP. Put Some on God didn't make for best rap. By the way, Put Some on God is a solid rap song. In terms of rap performance, that is a very good showing of talent. I'm sorry. You know, I don't know. I'm actually pulling up the list to see who else was in best rap performance, because I'm just, you know, best let me see. Okay, let's do best male vocal performance. So they were also asking for clarification as to why Cover Me is on his album as well. It's a nice song. We have Isiama Akoma. I know Isiama. Isiama is a talented. Oh my goodness! I went to a wedding where Isiama was singing, and it sounded just like the track. It sounded just like the track. So Akoma by Isiama. Dion Watch It Time live session. I know Dion Bwachi, I haven't bothered to listen to him. Perez Music by Prayer, Josh Black, Catch 22, Kyle Clotzy, Yehuda. Okay, I don't know most of these songs. I'm going to be very honest. I don't know them. So I can't tell, you know, if Cover Me by Ara deserves to be here or not. I don't know. I saw a video. Was it Hits FM? But Robert Kla from Charterhouse was explaining the reason why sometimes, because, you know, a lot of people were confused. Kojo Black, for example, being nominated for Best New Artist. I think he's been around for at least 2 years, but a lot of people were complaining. And he was saying that there are different factors that goes into some of these things, you know, apart from time, if you fall outside of the window for applications. There's also, they consider things like radio play, impact of the music online and offline, social media, you know, a lot of different things. To me, when I listened to it, I just felt like it was a lot of hogwash in the sense that he was talking around the matter. It was very snowboarding. Yes, I don't know if it's snowboarding or snowballing, but there's this thing in negotiations where you overwhelm people with information and then they are confused. Because it reminds me of the American Embassy visa application process. When you don't get the visa, they give you a long list, and they say, you have been found ineligible for this visa. Here are a list of things possibly resulted in this. So they don't tell you what exactly it is. You just get this full list. And that's what this kind of is. You know what I mean? You're just talking about, oh, and this and that. And I've heard this argument before. Last year, there was some, you know, hoopla around some of the nominations, and people were saying, you know, they don't consider radio play and impact or offline because of social media. And I mean, fair, because sometimes you do not know. I don't listen to the radio. A lot of us don't listen to the radio anymore. We have Bluetooth and that's it. We connect our Bluetooth to our phone and our car and that's it. Even when we don't have cars, our AirPods and our earpieces. So I don't know. You know what I mean? But hey, I saw Ara also posted something and he said, you know what? We're not calling you guys out. We are just asking for clarifications. And the next time we know how we move about, you know what I mean? It's been a lot of, back and forth. A lot of people feeling some way and some people feeling that way. Of course, again, the conversation around Artist of the Year is coming. I've seen strong cases being made for Sarkodie. I've seen strong cases being made for Black Sharif. So let's see. I don't know. I saw Lali and Lola also put out, you know, let me tell you, those girls are always ready for a PR moment. Lali and Lola put out something about TGMA's bringing back the best group award, because of course they're a group, so you know what I mean. But Lali and Lola, here's the thing. The era of groups just died. The era of group, we came up in the era where groups were rife and every single one of them disintegrated either through arguments or they just got tired. There was VIP, then one of them went away and then it became VVIP with Reggie Rock Stone, the short one, I forgot his name. There was Prior, and then Prior Tintin had fallen out with Choirmaster and Prior Honeho. And, you know, that ended Prior. We had Triple M. Putty, good morning. Nako, Sifuwa, good morning. Putty, Mipacha. We had Triple M. That was a girl group. We had FBS. Oh my goodness. Oluman Boogie, man. FBS, three guys, right? We had Book Back. In fact, Book Back was the four guys and then broke up into 4X4 and then Book Back. So Book Back became Ronnie Coaches and the guy that died, I forgot his name. Oh no, Ronnie is the one that died. Ronnie Coaches and Blink Sparkles, right? And then 4X4 became Abortion and Captain Plans, and they got Fresh Prince to join them. That's when he came around and he started doing hotgirl.com, you know. Anyway, the era of the groups just died. There weren't enough groups around. And so I'm sure there was a year where the category was lacking, because where are the groups? You know what I mean? So, la la la, you should be encouraging more people to form groups. But yeah, great PR moment. Artists of the Year, we've got Black Sharif, we've got Medical, we've got Stoneboy, we've got Wendy Shea, we've got Sarkodie, and we've got Diana Hamilton. It's so interesting to me. It's almost as if they always reserve one spot for one gospel artist. And I just find it very interesting. Throughout, it's always this one lone gospel artist in there with everybody else. And I'm just wondering, in the gospel category, there's more than one gospel person over there, right? Are you telling me that it's always just one strong person that can contend? Because people make a lot of arguments about for gospel artists and saying that they play a lot of shows, because there's a lot of revivals, Thursday, fasting. They play a lot of shows. So they make actual money from live performances. They make Danny Hamilton and Ohima Messi and them. Oh, don't play with their bag. Do not play with the bag. But anyway, moving on. One of the videos that I saw about the TGMEs that actually got me thinking was Ahmed's video. Ahmed did a video critiquing the TGMEs, talking about how it's actually very boring and that they need to step it up and give art, because the artists don't appear. And he was saying that artists need to appear to make it fun because we want to see them and we don't see them. And now it's all, is the carpet with, what's the name of that DJ? The DJ that always comes there looking ridiculous on purpose. I've forgotten his name, you know. See, bad branding. You do all of that gimmicks. I can't remember your name. But he was talking about the fact that, you know, they can actually spend some money and do some of these Vogue Get Ready With Me videos with the celebrities that are going to come, the artists. And it's actually going to make them want to show up because, you know, there's a whole fanfare around them. And that's the thing. If you're being very honest, the hype around the music awards is dying. There was a time where we're really, really invested in it. It's dying. And now that people are already critiquing, you know, people feel like it's, there's a barrier to entry and it's a, you know, who you know and things like that. You know, you need to find ways to actually be a bit more transparent and open to the public. And you need to give people incentives. And so I definitely agree with him. Do those Vogue Get Ready with me. Select about 10 people who have been nominated and create content around them leading to this whole thing where you guys always promote the TGMAs with their hosts. It's tired. With the same hosts. We know it's the same them. Nashoko. We know you bring Nashoko. You bring Juva. It's the same hosts. So let's try to promote the show around something else this time around. Okay. And that's it. That's it for the hot topics, y'all. That's it. Too much going on. Streets too hot. Too hot. Can we talk about grooming in Accra? Because why is it always so rushed and a little bit chaotic? Not at Cody Pets. At Cody Pets, time is taken and care is given. Whether it's a breed-specific cut or a simple wash and blow dry, your pets are going to love it. Their retail section stocks curated accessories for pets who like to step out in style. So check them out on IG at KODIPETSGH or call for inquiries at 059-877-3797. Business manager Adam will also answer to 056-140-4331. Try Cody Pets. So on this very episode, we're going to be talking to what I would define as who I would have been if I didn't, you know, fall prey to my father's joke about being a fashion designer. But he is a very talented creative. I've been following his creative journey for a very long time. I've had my eye on him for a very long time. I used to have a blog, and I remember one time I even wrote something in defense of him because he was coming out. I don't remember what it was about. But anyway, I think, yeah, somebody stole his prints or something like that. But yeah, and also one of our very big, big supporters on the podcast, he's always checking in, always complimenting, telling us he loves this, he loves that, when are we back? And he's always bemoaning the fact that he can't be at some of the shows because he doesn't live in the country. But very talented, Papa Opong. We're going to be talking, I know you already know because you've read the title. We're going to be talking to Papa Opong. And it's a very, it's an exciting conversation for me because I get to see what life could have been for myself. Honestly, and I told him this, I live vicariously through him. I'm on his channel, on Instagram and everything, because I say to myself that this is it. I love the way he's approached what he's doing because I think that same eye to detail and everything would have been me. And so ladies and gentlemen, you know, and everything in between, without much, you know, hoopla, buckle up and let's get into this interview with Papa Opong.
Hey, soft people. Easy, baby. Easy, easy, baby. Easy, baby. Easy, easy, baby. Bend down low. Bend down low. Bend down low. Bend down low. Soft people. Soft people. A poppy shit. A poppy. A poppy rapper.
We have
have a very exciting guest here, especially for me, because I've been following his you know, his progress very keenly, and I'll tell him why today. He's been described by the Fashion Trust US as a fashion illustrator, fashion designer, and a new age artist. Yes. Enema for, you know what, when they say enema for, do you know it means like urban, modern, new age? Yeah. I have Papa Pong with me.
Hi.
Welcome.
intro.
I know, hi. Right? They don't know that it's the second time we are doing it.
You don't need to know.
Yeah. Oh, and I forgot, and he's also like literally in the top five of sincerities. Oh, yeah, yes, like yeah. Papa listens to all the episodes. When we go on break, he's harassing Kwame. When are you guys coming back? Which, by the way, you should tell Kwame we should stop going on breaks.
I think I brought it up.
Right?
What's the break for?
I know, right? All podcasts every literally stay. Yeah. We need to stop doing breaks.
Please, I beg you. On behalf of all sincerity.
But it's Kwame. It is him. So anyway. Anyway, welcome, welcome.
Thank you.
You've been in Ghana. I've run into you quite a number of times. As places we can mention and places we cannot mention.
That part.
Yes. Clog it. But anyway, I saw that you were hanging out with your Achimota schoolmates.
Yes.
How's that like? When's the last time you guys hung out like that?
Honestly, we're counting the number of years since we've been together as a group, and it was 15 years.
15?
Yes, 15 years. So it's been a long time.
Oh, wow.
Some people I've seen over time, you know, like maybe 10 years ago, 5 years ago, but like, collectively, it's been 15 years.
So. I didn't know Smiley was your classmate.
Smiley was, oh gosh, I have so much tea on Smiley. Smiley was my classmate, yeah.
What did you say? You have so much tea on Smiley?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
All Smiley right. is very, very smart, is what I would say.
Is what you say?
Very talented, very smart young man, yes.
Bet. Okay. And I see that you were hanging out with Professor Bloody Glover.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, that's my favorite artist in Ghana, out of Ghana. And, you know, every time I'm in Ghana, I try to go to his art gallery, which is on the beach road. So it's called Omanya House. That's where I always go.
Oh, I see it.
Yeah, that giant building on the...
That's his?
Okay. So it's his collective. It's called the Artist Alliance Gallery, and it's him and a bunch of other artists. Mm. But he owns it. He does some of his paintings there still.
You know, in one of like your work from years ago, I think he did a painting on one of your jackets, right?
Yeah. So I don't know if you have time for that story, but it was a very, very long story of, you know, seeing his manager. It was supposed to be for my Bachelor of Fine Arts degree. It was like my final presentation. And I wanted him to draw one of his iconic figures on my clothes. Mm-hmm. So it was like, honestly, I think 2 months in total of trying to convince him, you know, he's an older man, so he's busy. He doesn't have time as much as he used to back in the day.
Before he knew about you, did he take you seriously? Like, was he like...
Oh, no. It was like, who is this person? This small boy. That time, so I was even shorter than I am. So it's like, it was this small boy, she wants to do this thing. And I think for him, it was probably like, does he understand what goes into making a painting? But eventually, he was very receptive to it. He did the artwork, and I still have that piece. And it's actually in Maryland, in the DMV.
The DMV, so, yeah, with a snowstorm. Oh, my goodness.
It's freezing up.
I mean, I feel like I first started noticing you way back when you were doing your illustrations. I mean, I saw you in something, then it was you, but then later, we're going to get to that. I bring our story every time, but today I want it to be on record in video and audio. But anyway, I started noticing when you used to do your illustrations, you know, Kelly Rowland, Amber Rose, Ty Hunter, and then finally, Rihanna.
Yes.
We just started a 10-year friendship, online friendship. Yeah. Rihanna is so funny. You did something and she was like, I hope you don't become big and forget me. Girl, be for real.
Yes, no.
What's that friendship like? How you did her illustration, she followed you, and then how's that been like?
Okay, so it's funny. I remember the exact place and time and dates. This was like April 2nd, 2012. So it's been well over 10 years. And I was in Radford University at the time. I was in Ghana doing my BFA.
Yeah.
And I had been doing...
Can you please tell people what a BFA is?
Okay. So BFA is your Bachelor of Fine Arts. So it's a degree. So, you know, those who do arts, fashion, graphic design, they probably are going for the BFA.
Right.
So I did the BFA, in Radford. And at the time, Instagram was kind of new. So this was like 2012. It was still picking up, pace. And I realized that first of all, I've always been a fan of Rihanna because it's not just about the music, but I think she's fashion-wise. And also back in the day, she was like Bad Girl Riri. The name came from, like, you know, the whole era of her being like a bad girl.
Good Girl Gone Bad.
Yes.
Disturbia.
Yes,
yes. Mm-hmm.
Rated R, all the eras, right? Yeah. So I was always doing illustrations of her. That was like when I started Instagram, I was like excited to do illustrations of her. I noticed that she was always responding to people's illustrations of her. So I was like, oh, let me try. I did like a couple of them. And one time I just went into my notifications. Bad Girl Riri is following you. The way I run around my house, I live in Spintex Road. Go and ask my brother. I just like run around. He's like, what's going on? I was like,
yeah, just follow me.
It's a big deal. But since then, it's been a lot of, I send it. So I'm probably the annoying follower that she has, because I send her all the funny reels that I send my friends. And she's always cackling. She's like, I'd be cracking her up.
So. Do you have her number?
No, I don't. I wish.
So you guys only talk on what,
we're
Instagram?
All on Instagram. Everything on Instagram. Yeah.
That is so interesting, because I bet you her DM is like really full, because every mention, every notification, but then she's like still like talking to you all these years.
I'm lucky. She's very sweet, and like even besides the moments that I show, there are moments that I don't show where I'm very vulnerable with her and she gave me advice, so she told me to keep my head up. So it's like, this is Rihanna.
Have you
so,
met her?
I've been to her show, her last show before she paused on music. Yeah. So I was at the anti-war tour.
Okay.
I didn't meet her personally because I didn't have money. So I didn't do a meet and greet.
You didn't do a meet and greet.
Yeah. I was just close enough to the stage. And at that show, she was on a glass bridge that went above. So she was literally, I have a video of me where she's right above me and I'm screaming, Rihanna, it's me. She's like, you know, damn well she can't hear you.
Yeah.
So she couldn't, but like that was the closest I've been to meeting her. And she's aware that we want to meet. She's like, you know, we're looking forward to it. Like,
it's gonna happen.
It was a crazy thing though. Like 2 years ago, 2024, yeah, she just in New York, very close to where I make my clothes in New York.
Mm-hmm.
But then I already, like when I got on Instagram, it was like 2 hours ago, someone had posted that she was in Times Square. And I was like, oh my God, Rhea, I was right there. She's like, no. She told me earlier. But yeah, we're always getting close.
Listen, I feel like when the time is right, and I mean, there's a lot of progression you've made in the fashion world. So it's only a matter of time, right?
Yes.
In your interview with the CFDA, you said that early on, you joined like dance clubs in, you said middle school, but I know you mean primary school.
Yeah.
Yeah, you had to do a little code switching for them.
Yeah, a little bit.
Primary school and high school, you were in the traditional dance groups, trying to learn a little bit of like the culture and all of that, right? So I'm just wondering, is that what kind of like led you into the Wengeze dance video?
Yes.
That's how you ended up.
Yes, I think that's the start. So where do I even begin? But basically, I love dancing. Okay. Those of you know, I dance all the time. I've been doing local dances, like you're saying from the interview. I used to do Adowa, you know, all of it. I know all the moves. There's some.
Okay.
We'll get into it. But like, I know all those local dances. I think that was my entry into dance. And of course, I'm a big fan of like Beyonce, Rihanna, Destiny's Child. So I would always try and replicate the dances I'm seeing. Yeah. Them times we used to have CDs that you've like burnt. Hey, all the dance videos.
Tell them. They don't know.
They don't know.
Burning just go CDs stream. was a thing.
Yeah. I had a cousin in America who would burn everything on a cassette and send it. So every summer, we know we are getting the latest MTV videos. So Ciara's One Two Step, which by the way, I got to tell her that I used to do a dance.
Ciara?
Yes.
Really oh, soon. Yes.
Subtle flex, but yes. So.
Listen. On that, the hood of that car. Oh.
Yes, the red car. Yes. With Ludacris. Yes. Yeah. I know that whole dance. I still know it. So that's what ushered me into it. Because I was a big fan of Easy. Like, I had a number when I was in Motown. I was calling her every day in school. Sometimes she wouldn't pick up because her pop was worrying her.
And so she called you and said, come and do the video.
Yeah, so it's funny. She already had a video. Remember, if you know the history of Wengeze.
Yeah, they did two videos.
She did one video, which everyone was like, this song. This is the video you're doing for yourself. So everyone was like pressuring her
to do another
one. She needs to redo it. And so she was like, okay, she gave in to the pressure. And then she knew, because when I was in Motown, everyone knows Papua Four and Easy Wengeze is a thing. I used to dance Rex Nights. I used to always open the floor.
Really?
Wengeze. Oh yeah, I was not playing games. Okay. Not that my bones are a little older. So it's
your bones are not old.
I'm older, but back then I was dancing. So then I'd become her friend. I used to go to her house after Motown. Uh-huh. And then she was like, she's shooting the video again. Will I want to be inside? I was like, yes. And so it was like, the video was like a freestyle thing. It's like.
Did you know Sheldon already?
Yeah, Sheldon was in Motown too, in Queensland. So Sheldon I went to school with, a classmate who was also on the video. So the two of us, and people don't know it.
They don't know, they know. Go and look for Easy's Wengeze video. He's oiled up. He's wearing a hat. He and Sheldon are topless. And then Bobby gets to keep shouting.
things that I thought would never see the light of day.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. So you've always spoken about this Barbie doll starts to your career, which is basically when you were younger, you were very interested in Barbie dolls, right? How did that develop into an interest in fashion illustration?
Yeah.
Because I think that's where you started illustration, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So I was born in the 90s. So I was born in 1992. And, you know, I'm a 90s baby. That's what
of course.
You know, 90s baby. Back then, the internet wasn't that big. It was kind of difficult to just go online and watch whatever I wanted to watch or see whatever I wanted to see. But catalogs and magazines were a very big deal. So, some of you might know this store called Argos. It's a UK. You know Argos?
I know Argos, but I know the magazine.
Yes, so the catalog.
The catalog.
Exactly. So Argos catalogs is who I credit for fashion for me because I loved Barbie so much. And the only time that I would get to see a Barbie doll is when I opened to the toy Argos section.
Yes.
So like those very big, thick catalogs, I would always open to Barbie.
Uh-huh.
And then I'll be looking at the prices, you know, trying to get my mom to buy some for me. And then, you know, what I'll do is, because it's such a big catalog, when you look on the side, you would see pink. Because Barbie's pink was very specific. So you see pink, you know that page was Barbie.
Oh, okay.
So once we had like one for the whole house, I would cut out all the
Barbie pages
out and I'll keep them. And then because I can't get the Barbie doll itself, I'll cut out the dolls and I'll play with the papers.
Oh.
And then I tried to draw the papers. I was like, okay, let me draw my own Barbie, try and dress it up. And that led me to fashion illustration. So That is
quite the story. I mean, every time I've heard the story, it's never been told in this much detail. And you also spoke about, in one of your interviews, you were talking about the inspiration that goes into the messaging and the storytelling of your clothes comes from stories that your mother and your aunts would tell you about their time growing up and all of those kind of things, right? What were some of the stories they were telling you about?
Oh my gosh. So,
Ghana?
Yeah. So many stories. So, a little side note, like my grandma who passed in 2019, Nana Maggie, she almost like I knew she was getting older and more feeble. So I used to take her to her appointments. And one time I was like, no, let me try and get some info from her. So she was in the backseat and I was like, oh, grandma, tell me stuff about, you know, my mom when she was growing up. So she started telling me all these random stories about my mom. And she tells me they used to live in Abetifikwe. So that's where we are from. We're not from Accra. Okay. We're from Kwe.
Okay.
So, you know, that's where they grew up. So telling me stories about my mom and her siblings. And one of the stories that I remember very fondly was how women got curls back in the day. You know, now you can go and put the rollers. They didn't have that. She was telling me how they would heat up an iron rod, like a small iron rod.
And like the one they used for construction.
Yeah. Like a rod like that, like metal rod, heated up. And then they put it in the woman's hair and they coil it and they pull.
Okay.
And that's where they're getting curls. So it's like, I was hearing all these interesting stories. And it's funny because where are you going to read this story from? You know, we don't have that good museum
oral
culture.
Tradition.
Exactly. That's one of the things that was always inspiring me. It's like, she was always telling me stories. My mom was also always telling me stories about growing up. And I just fed that into my design process and used my pieces as ways of communicating some of these stories.
I see. So I think when you were going to Achimota, you knew you wanted to do fashion by that time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay. My question now, because I'll tell you, I also wanted to be a fashion designer.
Okay.
I had a big file. And I had like, so you perforated and then A4 sheet.
Yeah.
I had so many sketches. I used to sketch throughout primary school and everything. And then when I was going to secondary school, I said, my father was like, what are you going to say? I said, visual arts.
Mm-hmm.
And he made a joke, which I took a little bit too seriously. He said, hey, who passed your visual arts? We all be painting sign for the money pole.
The universal story.
Right?
Yes.
And I was like, oh, that's not what I want to do.
Yeah.
Because he was literally saying like fashion design. And this at the time, I think we had Kofi Ansa.
Yeah.
MKOG.
MKOG, PJ.
PKOG. Yeah.
Maybe Nalem, if you're a little bougie.
Nalem clothing. Okay. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I just pivoted. I went to do general arts.
Okay.
But so that's what I'm saying. So that I feel like, when I started following your illustrations and things, I was like, this guy is doing what I would have done.
Yeah.
And I also believe that the way you're doing it is exactly how I would have done it. Because you've had some really iconic shows, which we're going to talk about.
Okay.
Every single time you present your collection is not like the regular way.
Yeah.
And I'm always like, oh, what problem is me if I didn't stop?
Yeah, well, you start too late. Let's do it. You collab and then it will to jumpstart the thing.
Okay,
yeah.
We'll see about that. But yeah, you've also spoken about like the same concerns your parents had.
Yeah.
And you said I was rebellious. It's easy to say, but what was that conversation like? What was it like in the moments leading to getting them to understand that this is what you wanted to pursue? Yeah.
It's exactly the word rebellious. Like, when you think of rebellious, it's all of that. Meaning, you know, just a little backstory to that. When I was ready to go to Motown, Chipotle School, I signed up for visual art, like, because I knew I wanted to do something in design and art and fashion. So I signed up for that. The results came and I had Motown and they put me in general science. This is something no one knows.
Really?
So they gave me general science. And I was like, general science, dear. Make a friend. So I showed it to my mom. I was like, oh, we have to go and change this. My mom was like, oh, no. Hey, the thing that people are fighting for, you've gotten is keep it. And I was like, no, I'm saying I don't want to do it because I can't do it physically. I cannot do it. The chemistry, I don't know how to do it.
Physics, chemistry,
math.
Oh, my God. Oh.
My math story is another
situation. I got an F in e-math.
I've written math like 3 times.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, mine is a little bit more intense.
You know, math is horrible.
Math is bad.
It's
bad. I can't do it.
Thank God for calculators.
Nobody let us do those things. So, basically, I showed my mom and I was like, can we go change it? She's like, oh, no, let's keep it. I was like, no. So, we marched to the office and my mom reluctantly was like, oh, you know, he wants to change to visual art. And the woman at the office was like, No. Keep the general. I was like,
isn't that thing so annoying weird. In Ghana? It's like people feel like they know what is better for you. And it's also interesting because it tells you how they think about the arts.
Yep.
Cause I can see why. Yep. She's like, everybody wants to do general science. You've got this and you want to change your way to visual arts.
No. So they were all, everyone along the way was convincing me, don't do it. And I ended up doing it. And then I got changed to visual art, and I did visual art, and I think that really helped me understand the basics of arts and then led me through to fashion. So I was this close to not being on this journey. And when I say rebellious, honestly, even after Motown, when I wanted to do fashion design at Radford, it was the same story. They're like, you know, we're not paying fees for this. This is ridiculous. You're not going to do it. You're going to, same as you, you're going to end up on the roadside with a small boutique.
Your kiosk.
And it's not enough to feed you. It was a lot of that. But I, deep down, something in me kept telling me, Papa, this is all you're going to be able to do. Do it well. You know, prove, I was on this mission to prove to them that I can make it work. So when people are doing 3 things for school to check off, yeah, do 3 skits, I will do 7. Like, I was always doing the extra work, knowing that I was trying to prove to my parents that it wasn't a bad choice. And that, I think, helped me to grow in the field.
Yeah. Now, in Radford, you've spoken about Yvonne Ntiamwa, who was always, I think, one of the lecturers, right, from the UK. Yes. And she was always sharing opportunities in the fashion world on a WhatsApp group.
Yeah.
Yes. Yep. And you would always take it. Yes. And that's what led you to working with Adidas for the runway. Let's talk about that story. What did you do for the runway?
So, Mrs. Ntiamwa, Auntie Yvonne, as we call her, sometimes I feel like the universe just brings the right people at the right time
for you.
She literally joined Radford when I joined. So she wasn't a professor there the whole time. She joined when I joined. She ended up becoming the head of department. But before, I didn't know who she was. And she, coming from the UK, she had a very UK-based approach to fashion design. So she wasn't teaching us just sew this, you know, stitch this. So it was very much like, think of research, think about McQueen. You mentioned all the designers that at the time, I really didn't know them so well. And what she would do is she created a WhatsApp group for all the classes because it was easy to communicate with all of us. Like, she has something to tell us for assignments. She just puts it on there. And she started doing this thing where, because Radford was kind of new in fashion design and was private, a lot of people would come to Ghana to do projects, would send their, like, opportunities. Like, oh, we are looking for someone who's good at sketching, someone who's good at cutting skirts. And she would always just blast it onto the group. Yeah. Like, she wasn't doing any, this is for this person. No, she just here on the group. And then she'd be like, this is the time, this is the person, meet them if you want. Yeah. So as for me, I was always grabbing all those opportunities. I was like, the Adidas thing happened. She sent it out and I contacted a guy who some of you may or may not know, unfortunately passed not too long ago.
Oh, no.
Leslie Emisa. So that was, he passed not too long ago, but I'm sure you'd know who this is at some point. But Leslie was the contact who was associated with Adidas at the time. So I called Leslie. I was like, oh, hey, Mrs. Tiamwa said I should call you. I'm a student from Radford. And he said, come to Wager. I was like, I'm in East Lagoonja. So I was like, Wager. And this was after school. So school was ending around 5. So I was like, oh, is there a way we can do the meeting? Because no, Adidas at the time was only in Wager. There was like a mall.
Really?
Yeah, West Hills.
That's crazy.
Is that Wager or Kaswa?
the two of them.
It's in that area, right? Yeah.
I think it's Weijia. It's Weijia.
It's Weijia.
Kaswa is further.
It's Weijia. Yeah. Kaswa, I don't think I would have gone. Weijia was...
I'm sure you would have gone. Trust me.
So I just sucked it up and I drove all the way after school to Weijia and I met with the Adidas team. It was like a foreign family who owned the franchise at the time. We met. They showed me all the things. So just boots on the ground. Oh, you're here. You're the art director. I was like, I guess.
You were the art director?
Literally. I was the showrunner, like the one who I was put in charge to do the whole fashion show to launch it. But, you know, I didn't know that. I thought I was just going to help. So when they said I just owned it. Oh, yeah, this is me that's pointing things, showing me people. And I said, okay, good. So I ended up, that was my first time with some sort of a budget to create a show. So I did something that I thought was a little outlandish. I know the girls came on motorbikes. So there was a stage where the fashion show would start, but it started, people were watching the stage and then they heard the revving of the bikes. The bikes were custom Adidas bikes. Wow. And then the girls were on the bikes with like these Adidas helmet guys. And then people were like, hey, what are the bikes doing here? So they parted ways and then the motorbikes drove through with the Adidas and it was a big success. And they were all like, oh my God, this is great. Right. Who did this? And that led to more and more opportunities. So
you can always tell when somebody's like tapped into pop culture because this motorbike thing, like I can see music videos, Pussycat dolls, all of these things that like you're consuming that make you think very differently about it, right? And every time that you do a presentation and you do something different, I'm like, oh yeah, he's very like tapped in into pop culture like that. Did you get the Macy's department store gig from the same WhatsApp group?
So yes, so that was also kind of like that. Honestly, it was like, I don't know if it was exactly the same format, but what Yvonne Tiama would always do is she'd always put out a blast, right? Mm-hmm. And then there was some woman who was in touch with Macy's in America. They were doing like a project, like an exchange J-1. So J-1 visa is like an exchange student project where they pick designers from other places, made them to Macy's. So that's where that started from. It started from Radford and it was presented to me after I went through like a vetting process of like, you know, what do you do? You know, are you able to get the visa? You know, it's one thing to get an opportunity in America. It's another thing to get a visa.
Maybe.
To America.
People don't know. I got an internship at BOA, but I couldn't go because I didn't get the visa.
It's very tough.
Yeah.
It's very, very tough. So
years ago. But I always look back on it and I'm like, if I had gone to VOA, the podcast wouldn't have happened.
We'll be here.
We'll be here.
We'll be here. So you know.
Hey. Okay, so after Radford, you went to Fashion Institute of Technology, right? Yes. To do a master's.
Yes.
All right. That's another brave undertaking because that also involved leaving Ghana. And you know, someone like me, people always see me, they're like, what are you still doing in Ghana? You really need to go outside the country. I don't know. I think it's such a scary thing, like relocating, uprooting yourself, right? And even for you, after going there, you also recently left New York to Portland, right?
Yes.
So I don't know. People that move and they just make it look so easy. Like, what were some of the considerations before you decided to go and do these masters where you are literally leaving everything and all the connections? Your friend Shika.
You and Shika
were really close, right? Angelo, Prempe.
Yes.
All the friends you have here. Jean, like, what was your, like, okay, I'm going to do a master's. I have to leave the country. What are the considerations?
So honestly, and I'm so glad you're asking me these questions because I don't think I've said these things out loud ever except to myself when I'm talking to myself. But I think it came from, I've had a desire to just expand and grow and like leave Ghana and see what's out there for me. And I think it all stems from my goals personally as a designer. Like I've always said when I close my eyes, I don't know when I see myself as a creative director of one of the biggest brands, one of the top 10 that you can think of. I see it. So everything I've done in my life has been leading me to that path. Some way, somehow, it's working out, right? So masters, I was like, I'd gone to Macy's. I'd done the Macy's thing. I came back to Ghana. I was like, I want to do fashion design again in school, but in a global city, in a city that's thriving where I can get a different perspective from what I did in Radford. So like you're saying, you had to, it means sacrificing everyone you know. Mm-hmm. You know, I got on a plane. I'll never forget when the plane took off. I was just crying. I was like, what have I done? You know, every time I do these things.
I remember a week before you went, that's when your grandmother passed.
Yes, you were contemplating
whether you should go.
Oh my gosh, you're reminding me. Yeah, right. Yeah. So my grandma passed. Everything was set. The visa, done the embassy and everything. And then literally she died a week, like literally a week to the day she passed. So I remember my mom came in, like my mom was very distraught. Obviously the family was shaking up and I was asking her, like, do I just stay? And she's like, no. It's like, you go, we'll handle this.
Yeah.
So it's come with a lot of sacrifices. Like, I haven't seen, my mom retired, I wasn't at the party. Yeah, everything was a WhatsApp picture. So, you know, people see, you know, you're doing well, but they never see the amount of sacrifice. The
sacrifices, yeah.
The birthdays you've missed, you know, the friends growing up. Yes, you know, I always tell Jean, you tell your local friends that I'm still...
You're still there.
Don't get it twisted. So it's like, you know, it's hard, but... And it's funny, I always say, like, growing up, I was such a wimpy kid. I was so small and bullied all the time. It's funny that I'm the one in my family that's taking all these risks. Like, Papa is upon and I'm New York. I surprise myself. And I think the braveness has come from just wanting to pursue my dreams and wanting to chase after the goals.
And it's like, it's tunnel vision, right? Because when you're very passionate about something, you really don't have time for what anybody has to say or whatever. Because I'm wondering, what is your like extended family conversations? What is it like whenever your parents have to explain to them that, oh, you're a fashion designer, but then they're like, okay, fashion designer, where is, you know what I mean? I wonder what those conversations are like. Have they ever told you anything? Or even now that you're here, like, have you met extended family who is like confused by what you do?
Yeah, I mean, now is the game has changed, right? Now I'm in a very big company of that course. Everyone knows. Everyone so, knows. Like, okay. If you tell my auntie B and, you know, Sotum that they know that the swoosh.
Do you have an auntie in Sotum, by the way?
I don't think so.
But oh, okay.
It sounded really legit.
Yeah, because my dad listens to Sotum, so I'm like,
maybe.
Okay.
But, like, you know, to that point, like, now they recognize that it's easier when you're tied to a company that you know. But I know my mom was always having to dance around it.
Like, yes.
Oh, I guess I'll put my deal, you know. Oh, yeah, fashion, you know. So it's hard, but like, you know, I'm stubborn and I wanted to do what I wanted to do. So
in one of your interviews with CNN about 6 years ago, you were telling them the difference between a fashion designer and a dressmaker. Can you like just explain? Can you sew now?
Yeah. So...
Because I remember when in the video, you know, you know, so Papa interned at Studio 189, which is owned by Rosario and
Abrima, yeah,
right. And in the video, you were standing next to somebody, and you were like, "Oh, she sewed so well. I wish I could sew like that."
Yeah,
yeah.
No, that was early on in my career. So yeah, I was interning for Studio 189, and I know how to sew. I don't like sewing. I don't think it's something that I'm born to do. So back to your question then, for like the difference between a dressmaker and a designer is really just got to do with, in my opinion, the extra layers of education that it comes with. You know, you could be a designer and have never gone to fashion school. You could be a dressmaker and have never apprenticed anywhere, right? The difference really comes in. I can say it confidently because I have degrees to back it. You know, that I went to fashion school.
A BFA.
A BFA and an MFA.
And an MFA.
So I have two degrees. Okay. So the master is your... Yeah, MFA. So...
No, I understand.
You know, but I think, honestly, like, words are just words. You know, it doesn't matter.
Please stop that.
It doesn't matter.
You know what? I forgot to even mention, before you actually went and did your math, you worked with Studio 189. You worked with Christy Brown. I remember your Christy Brown era, because you used to do their display windows, very nice with your raffia and your flowers. This flower pattern has been a thing.
It's been a thing. Yeah, I'm glad you're saying it. People think it's new. No,
it's been a thing. Yeah, you've really done a lot of work in the scene here before you even left.
Yeah.
But I feel like also back then it wasn't as like, what's the word? It wasn't like major in everybody's face.
Yeah.
And
it's
so interesting, right? Whenever somebody's like is doing well, everybody's like, hey, he came out of nowhere.
They don't know.
But they don't know. It's like, you have skin in the game.
I've put a lot of work.
Speaking about before you left, I want to talk about some of your fashion showcases that I have been to. So I remember for the bits.
Yes.
Yo, that was crazy. So Papa, basically they built a huge, if you know Tweety from Cartoon Network, a huge bird cage, and all of the models were inside the bird cage, and then they would open and they would walk out. Talk about For the Birds, how did that come about?
So honestly, it was, how did I even start? Like, I knew I wanted to do, I had just come back from my Macy's project for like, I think I'd been away for like 8 months. And when I came back, I was like, okay, Papa, we want to take this fashion thing serious. We want to start by showing the things that I, in my brain, like, let's physically do some fashion shows. So I knew I wanted to do something that was different. So I reached out to Untamed Empire, Stepha Gohoho. I went over there. They had a very big, at that time, they had a container store, which was in, I forget, somewhere in Accra. And I went to speak to her. I was like, oh, I'd like to do a presentation in the store, like inside the shop. I was just going to be like, you come inside and the things are hanging. And then she was like, oh, Papa, you have all this space. I was like, oh, we can use something. A compound. And she's like, yeah, maybe we're going to do. I was like, okay, I don't know. But then I keep seeing all these giant trees in the compound. I was like, trees, okay. Why don't we build a giant birdcage? At that time, I just said that thinking, oh, it'd be a breeze. But, you know, working in Ghana is a whole thing. So I reached out to Mr. Kojo Keja, who was a welder that I admired for a long time. That's very unique art. So I reached out to him. I was like, I want to do this giant birdcage. He was like, sure, we can do it. And then I was like, okay. So then a month later, I'm following, going everywhere with him. He's welding. And he was building the thing. I was like, oh, you're legit built. Like, he was building, he wasn't building on, I thought he was going to build it on the premises. But he was building it somewhere.
So now we have to now transport
yeah,
it.
Yeah. And I was like, well, how is this going to get there? He was like, oh, don't worry. Literally on the day off, he brought a tiny car. It's like a tiny truck. And he drove.
Abusoka
Machu. Yes. Yeah. The small pickups. And it was loaded on it. And he drove all the way from Tesano. I forget. They drove all the way to the thing there. And they hoisted it up. And then that. So when you put it up, it wasn't working. Like, people don't know. Up until the show started, we're screwed.
Oh,
we're literally
God.
Screwed. You'd hang it and then that tree was
bending.
The branch was bending. So it's like, okay, this won't work. In the end, well, I don't know if you guys realize, but there was a crane. They brought a crane and the crane held up held up the giant birdcage through the trees, and they put a giant black tarp over the crane. So you couldn't see the crane.
No.
You couldn't see it. And then it was hoisted, but there was a guy in the crane making sure that the thing doesn't tip over. It was a mess because every time someone steps in it, it was wobbling. But no one knows. This is like behind the show magic. So the whole show, when people are watching, I was just like, God, this thing's going to fall.
It's going to fall.
And then also, like, you know, like Mickey Jean wrote a script. Yes. It was a whole storyline. Yes. Princess and Mickey was at the back doing a voiceover. Everything that could go wrong was going wrong, but it ended up working out.
No, I like yours. Everything is just so like bold and like very on the edge. Because one of the ones that I really remember was This Boy Loves Ribbons.
Yeah, The Boy Loves Ribbons. Yeah,
The Boy Loves Ribbons. And that one was like, you had like a store space.
Yes.
And you had like a, I think a living space. You did like a bedroom.
Yeah,
and whatever.
The girls'
dormitory. And the models are just like,
This is the first commercial collection. The Boy Loves Ribbons was my entry into like ready to wear. Uh-huh. So I have this piece still because of that. Like, it reminds me this particular sample of that era, and it was a collaboration with Birkenstock Ghana. So
true. Yeah, oh yeah. It was a Birkenstock shop actually.
Yes, it was a Birkenstock
shop. And you're like, you, how you always. And then I remember the flower and garden show.
Yeah.
Where you had the teeth thing.
Yeah.
What do you call those things?
I think like mouth guards or something.
When you go to the dentist and you're going to get like your teeth looked at, you know, they put this thing inside and it opens your
open,
mouth.
Yeah.
And you know, before the show started, they gave everybody in the front row raincoats.
Yes.
And in my mind, I was like, what's going on?
Yeah.
And if I remember correctly, Samira Bawumia was there.
Yes.
Right?
So
they gave everybody raincoats.
Yeah.
And some people decided not to wear it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Tell me why at some point in the show, sprinklers come on and everybody is just getting How did the mouth guard translates into the clothes? Like, explain the whole.
So sometimes with my presentations, it's not even about the clothes. Sometimes it's about a pop culture moment that I'm obsessed with. That particular presentation, I was obsessed with Heath Ledger as the Joker in Batman.
Oh.
So he has this saying, I'm going to butcher it, but he has this quote where it's like, why are you so serious? Let's put a smile on that face. And he cuts
He slices his mouth to extend his mouth, a smile.
So I was obsessed with that little moment. I was like, oh, let's build clothes around that, right? So the clothes didn't really, that particular collection, I didn't care about the clothes. It was mainly, I didn't know where they are, to be honest, but it was really about that quote and how we can create this mad, like, almost like an asylum on a garden. Because it was gardening. It's a garden and flower show.
Yes.
So it had to be a theme. Like, you know, Stratcom was very...
And they were in like a nursery.
Yes.
It was
yes.
a see-through
it was
thing.
Like a greenhouse.
They were just sitting out like this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I remember when it started, they get up. I was like, what in the American Horror Story is going on?
Yes,
here?
Yeah. That's a good one. You raised my... I forgot all about that show.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, if I don't know if you remember correctly, the time of the show is like, they were sitting down. Lana Del Rey's cherry was playing. They were passing apples. So it was very poetic. And then the screen at the back.
Lana Del Rey.
We love Alana. Yes. So, you know, it was like there's a gardener in the pits just gardening, Nipro, that's his Instagram name. He was just gardening. He rode a bicycle. It was like, I like when it's a sensory overload in a show. So it's like your brain is like, where do I look? Funny story. I'm so glad I'm telling you this, but people don't know this. Samira Bawumia was going to come. It was confirmed. And I had purposely asked for them to have benches. I don't like fancy chairs. I mean, come on. It's a fashion show. So I was like, I just want everyone to sit on benches because I had drawn out the set. It was benches. And then at some point, we were like, oh, Samira is coming.
She needs a backrest.
She needs a chair.
She's a backrest.
I was like, no. So I fought with them. So I think they won because I was like, I have to go and figure out the models. But they accepted that. And then they were like, oh, but you know, for the sprinkler thing, for Samira, it's a hazard. Like, you're like, you know, she's first lady, second lady, it's all of that.
Security risk.
Exactly. So I had to go. I had to go talk. In the end, they were like, we're going to do it. But for Samira, we're going to put it on her. Like, regardless of whether she wants it or not, like, she has to wear the thing. So if you see the pictures, Samira wore her, I think she wore hers earlier than everyone else. But they announced it, like you're saying, people were like, oh.
Yeah, so I wasn't in the front row, but I realized some people didn't wear it. And then when the thing came, and everybody was like, oh.
Yeah, who are running? So some people were upset. That would teach you. So I was like, yeah. So it's all about an experience and stuff like that.
Yeah. So you currently... Oh, no, well, before we get there, you joined Nike as one of their designers. Yeah. And then I just saw on Instagram, after 6 months of being with Nike, you moved to a sub-brand of theirs. What's it called?
ACG.
ACG. Can you tell people what ACG is?
So ACG is All Conditions Gear, and it's a brand under Nike. So, you know, Nike has Jordan, Converse. ACG is like one of the brands under, and it's been around since the 80s. So they do outerwear. Mm-hmm. So, but it's also very niche and very like premium. So it's a little bit more expensive, and it's honestly, it's cooler than most of the other outerwear brands out there. So ACG is, I got moved to ACG after 6 months, which was interesting and shocking, but I really love the team. It's a really fun team to work with.
What's it been like with the Nike team?
It's been a life-changing moment for me because, like I said at the beginning, like I know I'm going to be a creative director for one of these brands. I don't know which one. I don't want to put out a name.
Are you sure you don't have a favorite in your mind?
Oh my God. Okay. Top three, Dior, Prada, and Balenciaga. I think those are top three.
I'm surprised you didn't say Chanel.
No.
No?
No.
No? Okay.
We can leave Tyler to do that.
Yeah. Balenciaga. Okay,
yeah.
I can see it. I just remember the American Horror Story when the woman is being burned at the stake. Do you know that scene?
I never watched American Horror Story.
You never did?
No.
Oh my goodness, you're missing out on pop culture history.
I never did.
She's literally so like, she's a witch and they're burning her at the stake. They're like, do you have any famous last words?
Oh, Balenciaga, I know like, that. I know that scene. I know that scene, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, wow. What is it like being a part of the Nike design team? What do you do?
I do color design. So I do color design. I know it's crazy to say, but like, you know, it's about telling stories with color, palette development, and like, you know, really ushering colors into the market. So it's like no product ever goes out without a color, right? Mm-hmm. So it's a very big task to think of what's the next color, you know, Pantone, WGS and all these color of the year. It's such a big deal to have a color, right? And colors really do determine what gets bought or not. So it's, and I'm new to it. So that's what people don't understand, that I am a fashion designer apparel. Uh-huh. So when I entered Nike, I was doing footwear and I was like, I don't really know footwear, but they trusted me and my vision to put me on that team. And I'm learning a lot about color, what it means. And, you know, Ghana, we have different meanings for color. So it kind of makes sense for me to be on a color team. So a lot of, you know, putting my knowledge in Ghanaian color and color in the past to
are you that. Like really like do you get to actually bring a lot of your Ghanaianness into what you do, or is it like a bit of a like a format that you're just following?
I think there's a lot of room for you to have perspectives on color from your past and like your culture. I think though there is a good balance between the two. Some things are very prescriptive. For example, if a piece is going to a certain part of the world, they may prefer a certain color, in which case you're playing within a set palette, mm-hmm. right? But then there are also chances where I get to create the palette and decide, oh, you know, who I'm influenced by. Like, am mm-hmm. I influenced by, you know, the Ashantis and their love for bright colors? So am I looking at like the Eves and their toned down neutrals and subtle cools, right? So there's an opportunity for both. So I get to do both. And I think what I enjoy the most about what I do now is that I'm really understanding the nuances of color. Like, I didn't used to look at color the way I look at color
now. Even me, I'm like, red, gold, green, red, yellow, blue.
And it's so much deeper than
the most outlandish color I know is cerulean.
And now that's even basic to me. Can you imagine?
It's
like crazy.
Oh my goodness.
You know, so.
No, because you know, when I follow like your story, I realize that you're always infusing things. Even this flower and gardening shop. I remember you had like TVs.
I don't know
if it's the same
giant
show.
Screen.
You had and you were showing like these old videos.
Yeah.
Hello, Daddy Lumba.
Yes, you
know, I remember.
The show,
So I know you're always kind of like, you know, telling a story. What do you think of the Ghanaian fashion industry right now?
I think, sorry, that was
what a sigh.
Very deep sigh.
Yeah.
That was partly because I'm tired. But no, I think it's still growing, you know. Mm-hmm. I think my biggest problem with it is that when you mention fashion, people still mention the first three. The three names that will always come to your mind.
Who are these names?
People will say Chrissy Brown. People will say Jabba Sewa. I don't even know if she's still active.
Do people still say Jabba Sewa?
I'm assuming they would.
I haven't seen Jabba Sewa.
Yeah.
She
hasn't been. I don't know. I don't know. I'm assuming she's still there.
So they say Chrissy Brown, Jabba Sewa.
And then they'll say, shoot, who can I... Maybe, I'm trying to make sure I don't mention someone that's still not active. But like, you know, we have...
I mean, I feel like there's...
Ben Casper.
Of course.
You know, we have Bio. With Nathaniel.
Even Studio 189.
Studio 189.
Still
there.
Kofi Akutia. There's a lot of names. There's a lot of names.
But
right
see,
now.
The thing with Ghanaian fashion that I think is very interesting that I actually do like is that some names will come up in certain settings and some names won't. Like, if I think of Kofi Akutia, I'm really thinking about red carpet Ghana. Mm-hmm, like he's a pioneer of that. If I think about bridal, it's Pistis.
Of course.
One of them, right? Pistis, so it's like, I like that they've created
it's some very categorized, segmented.
Yes, I think it's better that way because if you're someone who wants to do ready to wear, you know the field you're playing in, you know the people to look at. If I'm doing ready to wear, I'm not looking at Pistis.
Who's a ready to wear person in Ghana?
Chrissy Brown is ready to wear.
Okay.
Bello Edu, Alima Bello.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if you know Alima Bello. She's also ready to wear. Bridal would be Pistis. I know there's a bunch of other young designers who are bridal
coming
as well.
Yeah.
So it's we still have a long way to go. When I say that, I mean that we should be able to, off the top of our heads, mention like 20. Oh, God, like the Nigerians do.
I feel like there is. What have you noticed? Are there any changes since the time that you were here? Because obviously, there's definitely more entrants now.
Yeah.
And like you're saying, there's all these segments. Like Kofi Mako is really doing like print. Like, I don't know, is it batik? I don't know.
Probably is batik,
yeah, he does a lot of that. So what have you noticed is different now that you're back within the industry?
I think, honestly, I just think people are just more daring, you know.
More
I think Obin Casper, I mention him a lot because I think he's also found a hack to create it. Like, he doesn't use print. There's no print in his stuff. It's the most luxurious... Yeah. It's so elegant and it's so muted and so toned down, mm-hmm. but the textiles he's using are like woven in Ghana and stuff. So I guess people are thinking differently. And that's what I think I started doing when I was here.
It's
like, let's not do the same thing. Like, we all can't do wax prints. We all can't use Vlisco to make the same thing. Let's think of different things, right? So
even your silhouettes.
Yes, even the silhouettes are changing, you know. So I think there's, you know, there's room for more to be done. Mm-hmm. I think people should take chances and do more interesting shows. I think it does make a difference. Don't just do the walking down there. Like, think of fun ways.
Yeah, so because even internationally it's changed. When you look at like D Squared and all of these things, now the presentation is more different.
Yeah.
They're not
giving
you the flat runway anymore.
Yeah. And I think that makes things a lot more exciting.
Oh, true. So I mean, I'm coming to the end of this interview. But we're gonna do a listener letter. Don't worry.
Yes.
Yes,
that's why I'm here.
That's why you're here. So honestly, you definitely are going to become what you say you're going to become. I strongly believe in it because I've only seen you the progression. I know it's not been smooth. No. I know. I'm even moving from New York to Portland, yeah. I'm sure. Leaving Space Joyrider behind. Shout out Kevin.
Shout out Kevin.
Yeah. But you know, I just wanted to mention that because I don't want to give people the impression that it's just been smooth sailing. Yeah. There's definitely challenges.
Yeah.
And if you watch Papa's interviews, which are on YouTube with like all the different people, you know, challenges. People don't understand why a boy or a guy is like interested in Barbies and getting into fashion. There's also, and I remember way back when you used to start with your insane silhouettes, because Papa would not give you a Papa would give you like the hip that started from here, you know, and you're like, we can't wear this, why are you gonna take this to, you know, and you stood in your individuality and like you won the graduate award at FIT, right? And you met Luxury Law. I mean, what am I saying? His Instagram name is crazy.
Yeah,
Law Roach. Yeah. I mean, yeah, you met Janelle Monáe. Yes. So many things have happened for you. Yeah. And that's because he stood in his individuality, right? What do you want people to understand about, you know, pursuing something and believing in what you know you can do? Because like me, I listened to my father's one joke and I pivoted, right? Yeah. And a lot of people do that. A lot of people outsource their what they should do to people's opinions and then they take it.
I think I'll be very careful when I give this, I answer this question. It's because two things exist, right? I understand my privilege, meaning that I understand that I came from a home where I could be for my mom and say, if you won't let me go to fashion, I'm not talking to you.
Yes.
That's not everyone's reality, right? A lot of people are like, if you won't do it, then I'm done taking care of you as my child.
Yeah.
So I understand that. But I also think it's important for people to understand that you cannot give a fuck. You just can't give a fuck. And I'm sorry that it's a strong word to use, but you can. And I think one thing that I've done with myself is I've done a lot of work on myself to understand that I am who I am. The things that I can change about myself, I will gladly do the work to change, and what I cannot change, I will not waste my time.
True.
Understanding that you have one life is very important. Like, you're not going to respawn when you die. You're not going to start again from 30. No. So knowing that you have that one life, do you want to live it for yourself or you want to live it to appease your neighbors and your families? So don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Like, that's literally all I'm going to say.
It's not a video game. You're not going to come back and start afresh. Like,
so, you know, you just have to, you have to be brave. And I know it's difficult being in a part of the world where everything you do is scrutinized, you know, the way you talk, the way you walk. But I got to this point where I just didn't care anymore. I don't care. Then I'll be to Miami. You know, you can't do anything about it. So,
you know, my therapist said this to me once. She said, you're going to make a decision. Would you rather make take other people's opinions and make the decision, or you would take the opinion yourself so that when you fail, you know that, oh, it was my decision. But if you take their opinion and you fail, it's like, oh, I wish I had followed my, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you live in regret.
No, yeah.
So don't do it.
All right. Okay. Yeah. So we're just going to go straight into our listener letter.
Yes.
I need a name.
Ngozi.
Ngozi. Okay, okay. Come on, Ngozi. So this was from Ngozi. He says, hello, Joseph. I'm writing to you because I have convinced myself that maybe I will listen to you. Maybe. Let me explain. I work in the sales department of a company. I've been here since my national service. Every week, I listen to my colleagues complain about workplace culture, promotions, how bosses should be acting, etc. Oh boy. Personally, I do not care about it all. I stopped thinking corporations care about the input of young people the first year after my national service. I'm happy to take a salary, go home and do whatever I want till I go back to work. I'm 27 and my parents have started bothering me about doing my master's. They even want me to go out of the country to do it so that it will increase my chances of getting a well-paying job. I get that I still live with them, so they feel the need to volunteer their opinions, but I do not care. My mother has spent all her life chasing degrees, but I don't see any immense contribution to her life. This is actually rude. She's a wife and a mother working the same job I've known her to have. Most of her life, she's complained about her job just like my colleagues, thinking a new degree will give her a better chance. Mm. My dad has his own business and didn't do a lot of schooling, but he's convinced that's what's held him back in life and wants me to just want more. I really don't care. Life is complex. School is annoying. Leaving Ghana to go and build a whole new social circle seems very more annoying. For months now, we are always arguing at home. Mm. It's ruining the relationship. Last week, my little brother talked back at my mother and she's blaming me for being a bad example. I want to move out, but I'm still saving. So I'm writing because I would like your perspective on this. Do you think I'm lazy?
This is a really...
I think you're unmotivated though. That's what I think, Ngozi.
I think Ngozi needs to, first of all, have a very honest conversation with her mom about what her fears are. Like, I think, and I did this, right? Like, it's legitimate fears, if you're being honest. Like, no one
about
wants
the masters?
What am I trying to say? You see, like, I'm just going to use my case as an example, yeah. Right? I had to fight for what I believed in, right? And whether or not she agreed or not, it was going to be my way. It was giving my way or the highway, which again doesn't work for everyone.
Yes, because not everybody has the mother that you have.
Exactly. So like it's really just have a conversation with your mom and understand her point of view. And then you have to find a middle ground. I found a middle ground.
I think the difference here is that you had something you wanted to pursue.
Yeah.
Ngozi's saying, hey, fuck it all. Like nothing's going on. I'm going to stay in this job. I'm not going to want more for myself.
But you see, but that's not, I don't think she's being honest with herself though, because
but you know, like, there are some people who literally have no aspirations.
No aspirations. No. That's crazy.
What do you want to be?
Just like morning comes.
Take a salary every day and then you're fine. You know, look, sometimes I'm like, oh my God, I wish I didn't have aspirations. Sometimes I'm like, I wonder what it's like to not care about doing something.
It's crazy to me.
Because I literally don't have any free time. You know what I mean? So I can see it for her that like she doesn't want to do anything. But once you're living with your parents, like she's saying.
But no, I think, yes, you may not have any aspirations. Does she have hobbies? Like, what is she, like, you should have, there should be something that motivates you to want to be more. Because if you're going to be with their mom forever, like, you know.
Actually believe that everybody, you know, I feel like everybody's not like us.
Yeah.
Some people don't have hobbies. They don't care. Like, they go to work, they come home. They go to work, they come home.
Wow.
Yeah.
Must be very nice.
But you see, the problem now is, I feel the parents are looking at how life has failed them,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and they're trying to put corrective measures in place for their child to be better.
Yes.
The unfortunate thing is their child does not care about being better.
Yeah.
The child, and maybe, like she said, her mother pursued so many degrees.
Yeah.
And hoping that
she
it would help
didn't
it.
See anything.
And, yeah. So maybe that is it. The example that she saw at home.
But if the mother hadn't pursued this, you think she'd have been able to look after her? Like, I think, I'm sure it contributed in some way to whatever stability that they've enjoyed. Like, you know, people need to understand, like, most of our parents were raised traditionally.
Yes.
Go to school, get your degrees. You know, if you finish the degree one, that's when you do more. So that's what I'm saying. Like, you have to meet them halfway. What are her fears? That at some point when she realizes that she has aspirations, now she's 65 and now you want to go and start being a rapper. You know, like, it's not going to work. So I think mom, have a conversation with her and see where middle ground, like, What makes you happy? It's a question I ask everyone I meet in either any capacity. What makes you happy? And it's funny when you ask that question, it's such a value check of a person. Because somebody will tell you, what makes you happy? I want to go going out Friday night. They're social. That's what they are into. What makes you happy? Oh, peace and quiet. So having starting those conversations will let her understand you in a certain capacity. You also understand it. I mean, meet yourself halfway. Because honestly, the degrees you think they were for nothing. But if my mom hadn't gotten the degree she got, like, I wouldn't know the people that she met in the ministries when she was, you know what I mean? Everything connects to everything. So,
and even just the level of enlightenment that you gain, just the way you approach your life. I think that maybe it's also the approach in which they are using to talk to them. You know, we grew up in a part of the world that's like, hey, Mr. Jaisa. So maybe, but definitely, look, I always say open and honest conversation, but we're growing.
Yeah.
And in the part of the world that we live in, we don't really sit down and chat with our parents.
Unless you have bees.
Yeah.
Did they talk to you? Did they ever teach you that? Like your mom or someone?
Oh, no. I talk to my mom a lot. Like,
oh, okay. Yeah. So you guys, okay. Me and my mom will never.
Like some people, but here's the thing. Like I remember when I was a kid, I went to a friend's house and like dinner time, everybody sits around the table.
Ciao.
And I'm like, hey.
Really? Boy, yeah.
And then the father will be like, oh, how was everybody? How was your day?
Oh, really? In Ghana.
Can you imagine? Oh, they do it all. So,
really?
You know, I just feel like we really need to examine that relationship. But once you're getting older, it's important to start having conversation with your parents.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because if you are always operating from, oh, they don't understand. These people don't understand. Mm-hmm. That, they've been young too.
Yeah.
So I think you need to have that conversation. And also, honestly, Ngozi, I'm sorry. You might not have aspirations and all of that, but this is Accra. You are going to stay at that job forever.
Yeah.
Even in that job, you don't want to like elevate. And everybody's talking about side hustles. You don't want to have some and you want to move out. Do you know what I believe? I strongly believe once she moves south, she'll wake up.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. She's still under.
She's insulated. She's not paying for water, light. Yes. You know what I mean?
Mm.
Yeah, no, I don't think you're lazy. I think you're unmotivated. And I think in this day and age of like bed rotting and scrolling, it's very easy to convince yourself whatever lie you tell yourself, right? Those degrees, even though your mother took them, maybe it didn't advance her career or whatever, right? But like Papa was saying, there are things that she gained from them. Sometimes education, I feel like we are so common. The way you get a certificate, no, you get a promotion.
Oh, yeah, no.
But it, like even the way you approach life and even, let's say, business,
yes,
networking, socializations could be better for it.
I think so. I think for me, even as an example, like, I don't think my master's degree did anything else but give me the connections I needed to advance my career.
Exactly.
It was the people I met.
Because you have hands-on example. You've been like doing the work.
Yes.
Like you have project management experience.
Yes.
You have arts direction, creative director experience. Yeah. But people need to see the piece of paper that says, oh, I have an MFA and all of that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's just the world we live in.
Yeah. So essentially we're telling Ngozi to talk to her mother.
Yes. Go have an open and honest conversation.
Honest conversation.
And then hear her out. Sometimes we go with, no, be quiet. Listen to her point of view. And then that starts a healthy adult conversation.
Then, actually, Ngozi, play this part for your mother, right? Play this part for your mother.
Yes.
Ma, paucho, ubano, ono babe bonkomo, tobo, min tsi mu di 27 onya kola, sinasem, okasere no akawo die, ukawo die min tsi ano. Don't raise your voice, ma. Fanoboko sense afwa wo, ono wa uba, nti wini mse nieti, wini ni gidi gidi ya uchwe pai, yeah.
That's it.
I'm so ridiculous.
No, great. It's great. I'm happy that she's getting this. Yeah, she's getting this advice. Yeah.
Sweet. So yeah, I guess that's it. Well, Papa, thank you so much for coming on our show. Finally, 8 years.
Finally. I'm such a big fan.
I know. Thank you so much for holding us down. And we can't wait to see where you go, where you become. I really like these flower things that you do, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And one last thing before we go.
Oh, sure.
I wanted to use this opportunity to give you your flowers. You and Kwame and Cyril and everyone. Don't cut this out. Make sure it's in there. You guys have been doing an incredible work in podcasting. Not only that, but I see the growth. Mm-hmm. I've been listening to you since I was in Tema. I remember I used to sit down, be eating my breakfast, and I'll be listening to the show. So from Vox Pops to where you've gone to, I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you, the work you're doing.
Thank you so much.
Putting yourself out there. I know it's not easy. So,
it's not.
So just keep going. I'm so excited for the things you're about to do.
Thank you so much.
All right.
I'm excited too. Yeah, but I was going to say that I really do hope to see Papa Paul incorporated in some footwear somewhere, some ACB stuff.
Amen. ACG.
ACG. Oh my God. ACB estates. ACG. Like, I want to be able to see this. Oh, Papa Paul's the one that did that. You know what I mean?
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. And it will be on course because it will happen.
Amen.
All right. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Well, that's all, folks. We will come out to do, we'll come back to do the shout outs. Right, and we're back. Listen, I must say the shout outs are really lacking. I vaguely remember that somebody sent me a shout out. And please, if you are listening to this, please resend it because I cannot for the life of me remember. I have gone
to all of the platforms that we're on. I don't remember where you sent it, but somebody sent me a shout out and said she wanted to shout out herself because she had overcome a lot, blah, blah, blah. And I remember I saw the message and I responded to it. And in my mind, I said, oh, when I get home, I'm going to make sure I copy the message from the inbox into the notes because I have a separate notes for shout outs. And I forgot to do it. And, you know, we get messages and people posting us to their story every day. And so it brings things down. I've searched and searched. I can't find it. So baby girl, and I think it was a girl, if you remember sending me that message, send it again. And I'm going to read it out for you. Okay. But I definitely want to give a shout out to Papa Opon because listen, March 11th was his birthday. Happy birthday. Kill it at Nike ACG. And you know, I honestly do believe that everything that you see for yourself is possible because you see it in your mind's eye. You're going to work your mind, body and soul and make it happen. And we're going to be here. We're going to be watching and it's been a great seat, a great view. So, you know, keep shining, keep riding, keep doing what you do, Papa. Happy birthday. Shout out to you. Again, I want to say, if you have any shout outs for a friend, you know, who listens to the show, a lover, an ex-lover, you know, somebody you just like who listens to the show and you want to give them a message from yourself to them, send us a DM, tell us their name, your name, you know, if it wants to be anonymous too. We will do it. And I said, if you want me to also shout you out or give me a prompt, say, oh, I want you to shout out all baby mothers or something, just send us a DM and we'll do it for you. Because it is sincerely a crown. We are here for the people. All right, guys. It's time. It's time for us to skedaddle out of here. I want to give a quick shout out to my co-creator and producer, Mr. Kwame Asante-Ofori. I want to give a quick shout out to the GCR Network. That's the Gold Coast Report. The number one podcast hosting network. In a hogana. Yes. Okay, party people. How did we do? How did we fare? Are we getting the 5 stars? Because like I always say, if it's not 5 stars, keep it. Keep it. Don't give us any flimsy 4. There's really no excuse. It's 5 or nothing. So hit the 5 stars. Write raving reviews so other people will be hooked because you know you had fun. You know you had, yeah. All right, guys. It's been me, Joseph Inti. I'm the host of the Sincerely Crowd podcast. I'm going to love you, leave you, and catch you on the next one. And make sure you're always, always checking for us because it's always a good time on Sincerely Accra. Bye.
Don't stop the music, no, I can't let you do it. Never, never. Don't stop the music, no, I can't let you do it. Cause it be cool if you made it. Let's go crazy, cool if you made it. Let's go crazy. I wanna turn up. Tell daddy just say make you play my song. Cause it be cool if you made it. Let's go crazy. Yeah, cool if you made it. Let's go crazy. Yeah, boy. You make a blow, I thank you so much. Forward, on we go, did we not go, go back? Go your girl over. Mobile phone, did you want to know? I bet you want to know us. I said you want to know us. Go see our time. Put me on a beat and I'm telling fat. Came here with a heat and we burning fire. Fire on the mountain, who go run? Go see our time. Put me on a beat and I'm telling fat. Came here with a heat and we burning fire. Fire on the mountain, who go run? I wanna turn up. Tell that DJ say make you play my song. Cause it be cool if you made it. Let's go crazy. Yeah, cool if you made it.
Especially for the sound, yeah. She get groovy when the beat drop steady. Groovy, groovy on the beat, go crazy. First class, so she give me brainy. Lil' mama wanna be my lady. Cute face, slim waist, body crazy. The Gucci on the lifestyle, my baby. We live fast, so she never been ready. You know I'm different, all the dudes damn shady. Girl, I never ever like her, like I can change her life. Me, I don't do that, say she wanna be my wife. Make her dreams come true, just give me one night. And you chose me, girl, yeah, you always done right. Girl, I never ever like her, like I can change her life. Me, I don't do that, say she wanna be my wife. I make your dreams come true. Just give me one night, cause you told me so.
Let's go crazy. I wanna turn up. Tell daddy just say make you play my song. Cause it be cool if you made it. let's go crazy. Yeah, cool, we made it. Let's go crazy.
By force, she go like this thing. By force, she go like this thing. Won't buy you go like this thing. So will buy you go like this thing, darling. By force, she go like this thing. By force, she go like this thing. So will buy you go like this thing. So will buy you go like this thing, darling.
Don't stop the music. Can't let you do it. Don't stop the music. Can't let you do it. Cause if you cool, we made it. Let's go crazy. Cool, we made it. Let's go crazy. I wanna turn up. Tell daddy just let me play my song. Cause if you cool, we made it. Let's go crazy. Yeah, cool, we made it. Let's go crazy, yeah,
yeah. This has been a Gold Coast Report production.